Okay, today's daf is Ayin Vav. We're going to start Perek HaSocher Ta'umnim. Okay, very interesting Perek about business relations, getting to deals with people. You know, some of the stuff is similar to things we've seen. We're going to start with daf the workers, and then we'll get to some other things also about renting things. I hope you enjoyed yesterday's daf. It was a little lighter.
Yeah,
it was the review, right?
It's sort of flu.
Different, right? It's kind of different perspective. Nice way to end the Perek. Okay, Refuah Shlema for the week. David Avram ben Miriam, Dvorah bat Dina, Orli Penina bat Rachel Frida, Yael Miriam bat Chaya, Yaakov ben Rosa, David ben Golda, Daphne Chaya bat Sarah, Ilana Miriam bat Dina, Reza bat Pesha Rivka, Vital bat Leah, Dvorah Chana Leah bat Fredel, Chaya Nomi, Dvorah bat Shulamit, Ilanit bat Carmela, Lilula Nishmat, Chana bat Avram bat Atar, Tzvi Hirsch ben Yaakov Alevi, Umele, Yosef ben Tzvi HaKoyen, Oz Avram Shum ben Eliezer, Yitzchak Alevi b'Chana. Okay. So we're going to start with the Mishnah. Hasocher ta'umi, v'hit uzeh zeh, Ein lahem zel ze ela taromet. So if you hire workers at the very bottom of Ayin Hamabet, if you hire workers and, now this is the next word, this is going to be very unclear, we're going to have to try to figure out in the Gemara, and they mess each other up, how exactly you, right, they deceive each other. Okay, what does this mean, each other, ze et ze, what does it mean, hit'u? We're going to deal with all different possible explanations. Ein lahem zel ze ela taromet. Okay, what we know to be a fact is, they can only have a complaint. What does it mean, a complaint? A complaint means they don't have any monetary zchuyot, whoever got stuck in this bad situation, right? If the other person messed him up. But what do they have? They can have a legitimate complaint, okay? What does it mean, a legitimate complaint? I mean, what? Complaint's legitimate. What's the relevance of having a legitimate complaint? So some of the first explain that it means that you don't have to forgive them immediately, like in terms of, you know, this is concept that you have to forgive people for doing things they did to you. But right, how does it work exactly that you can, I actually forgot to look this up, I just remembered it, but it was that you can, right, in Yoma, right, in other words, until the guy, that's the, it talks about this at the end of Yoma, until the other side appeases him, then he can basically bear a grudge until the other guy makes him feel better about what happened, you know, and kind of explains himself or tries to somehow make up for it. Okay? So the problem is we don't exactly know what this case is. The other fact that is important to know is what an uman is. In uman, depending on the context, there's different types of workers. There's workers who work for a day salary, and there's workers who work for a job. You give them a particular job to do, and they get paid for the job, like you go to the dry cleaners. They don't get paid by hour, whereas you hire someone to clean your house, you pay them by hour. Those are the two types of workers. Tosfot says here that here it's bein b'sachir, bein b'kablanut. Kablanut is when you hire someone to do a job. So here they're talking about it doesn't matter. Here, at this point, we're not distinguishing between an uman, between a socher, a schir yom, and a kablan. So now, there's some sort of case where, even though it seems to be, it almost sounds like both sides, each one did something to the other, but nobody really explains it that way. We're going to see somebody does something to the other side. Now, that's what it means. Zed means either one side or the other side. The other side can only have a complaint. Sachar, but on the other hand, they can have a legitimate complaint, right? Sachar et hachamar v'et hakadar. If you hire someone who rides a donkey or rides a carriage, lahavi priferin v'chalilim l'kala o l'meit, you're either carrying the priferin or these wooden boards that you use to make these chairs that they would carry out the kala on, and chalilim or these chalila flute for either for a kala for a wedding, or they would eulogize the mate. They would, you know, do the keynote for the mate. For a funeral, upalim. Now, what's the common denominator about those two things? We're going to see the Mishnah is going to call it davar ha'aved. These are things that there's a certain date, and if you hire someone to do it and they don't do it in time, you're going to miss your opportunity. And we're going to continue with other cases like that. Upalim lahalo pishtano min amishra. This is where they would dry out the flax, and if you wouldn't take it out in time, then it would get ruined. Oh, right, they would soak it. Sorry, thank you. It would be soaking in the mishra, and if you didn't take it out in time, it would get ruined. V'chol davar sha'aved, okay, anything where there'll be a loss if they didn't do it. V'chazru bahen, and then, right, the workers now are chozer bahen. Makom, now we're going to distinguish. Makom she'ein shamadam, no, interestingly enough, the Gemara doesn't say makom she'eish shamadam, okay? We'll talk about that in a minute. Makom she'ein shamadam, socher alehen umata'an. Okay, what does that mean? If there's nobody else to do the job, so you can hire other workers in their place, And the assumption is that they'll, like, if, let's say, you have to hire workers now, it's the day of your wedding, and you don't have what you need, you're obviously going to have to pay a higher price. Those workers will have to cover the difference for you. Okay? Or, mita'an, or you can trick them into saying you'll hire them. Like, let's say they say they don't want to do it, and then you say, what if I pay you double? And they say, okay, then we'll do it. You actually don't have to pay them double. Okay? You can trick them into doing the job because they committed originally, and therefore you're allowed to do that. Hasocher ta'omnim v'chazru bahen. Okay, if you hire workers and they... Oh, so it doesn't say what if there is shamadam. The assumption is if there is shamadam, then probably you can have a taromet against them, but no more than that, right? Because if you can find someone else to do the job, so then you haven't lost anything. It's no longer really devar ha'aved then. Hasocher ta'omnim v'chazru bahen yadam ala tachtona. If you hire workers and they were chozer, then yadam ala tachtona, they have the worst, right? They get the worst deal. We'll talk about that in a minute. V'im balabai chozer bo yado ala tachtona. So whoever reneges from the agreement, right? This is protecting both sides. Okay? So whoever reneges, it's interesting. You think about labor laws in this country. They always side with the worker, right? Here, it's very even. So whoever messes up the other person, yado ala tachtona. Rashi is going to explain here, what does this mean? So he says it depends whether the prices went up or the prices went down. There's a bit of a machloket here about what happens. If prices go up, let's say you hire them for 100 shekel, and then prices went up to 150, and they were chozerbo. Now the assumption here is that they're in the middle of their work. Okay? So you hire them, and then in the middle, prices went up. And he doesn't, so Rashi says, imukrua polim ve'inomote mishig merenu, so then, right, let's say, so they did 100 shekels, right, they did half of the 100 shekels worth of work. So they did 50. Now prices went up to 150. So now, in other words, if prices go up to 150 and now he needs to pay those other workers more money and he agreed to pay 100 from the beginning and now he'll have to be motzi 125 because half, right, they only have to do half the job, right? So the job was for 100. The first guys did 50. Job was for 100. The first guys did 50. They did half. Now the price is 150. So he needs to pay 75 for the second half. So altogether now he has to put out 125. But since the Paulim were chozer bahem, so he doesn't really have to put out 100. The 25 gets taken out of the first guy's salary. So they only make 25 for half the job because they messed him up, and he now needs to pay 75. So in the end, he only pays 100. Okay?
It's the same as the
That's what it means, yadam ala tachtona. What?
It's the same effect as they're having to repay him for the difference.
Exactly. Pay. They'll have to repay him, or he'll just deduct it from their salary. If prices went down, okay, so now there's a bit of a machloket about this. So if prices went down, what's going to happen? If prices were 150, and now they go down to 100, so what happens? He pays them 75 for their half, right? And he has to pay the next workers only 25 for their half. He has to pay them 75, and the other guys, he has to pay 50, right? He was planning to pay 150, right? So now he only has to pay 125. Now notice, so Rashi says this is what happens. So he pays the first guy 75 for their half, and then he pays the other workers 50. But there's another commentary that says, wait a minute, but then they're not losing out on anything. So some people say that they also only get 50, the cheap price, okay? That they only get 50 and not the 75.
To penalize them.
To penalize them, exactly. Okay. Tov. So now... So if the Baal Bayit Chozer Bo, so then again, Yadu Ala Tachtona, so you would do this in the reverse, right, in terms of it's the same logic you would have to apply there. Now we're having another thing, which is Kol HaMeshaneh Yadu Ala Tachtona. We'll get more into this in the Gemara. I think it's tomorrow's stuff, I forget. If you change, you hire a worker to do something, and he does it differently than what you hired him to do. Okay, so Rashi says, for example, you gave wool to a dyer to color it red, and he dyes it black. Okay, so we'll see exactly what this means. Kol mishanei yado ala tachtona. We'll get into it in the Gemara. V'kol achozer bo yado ala tachtona. So this seems to be, didn't we already say this, right? What the point of this line is, again, the Gemara we'll get into. Now we're going to try to figure out this first line. Hasocher ta'umnim v'hitu zeh zeh in lam zel zeh ala taroma. What does it mean, hitu zeh zeh? So the Gemara says, Chazru zebaze lo katane. Notice it doesn't use the words chazru, right? Later on in the Mishnah it says kol chazrubo, right? Or hasocher ta'omnim b'chazru bahem. Here it doesn't say b'chazru bahem. It says hit'u. Uses a different word. It must mean it doesn't mean chazru bahem. Okay, that's what we're going to assume right now. So ela hit'u ze'etze, what must that mean? Da'atu po'alim ahadade. So now they're going to say it must be that there's someone, there's a third party here that kind of shifted things, right? That there's workers against each other. That's what he's saying. Hituze etze means there's workers against each other. So what does this mean? Hechidami, again, the Gemara is going to say. So what's the case? De'amale balabayit. Now we're going to say it must be a case where the balabayit sends a shaliach to hire workers. Amale balabayit. Zil ogerli poalim. So he says to a shaliach, go hire me workers. Va'azal iu va'at inhu. And the shaliach kind of messed things up, right? He changed from what the balabayit told him to do and did something different. And now that's where there's going to be a problem here, okay? Now you have to remember the facts of the case. What do we know? We don't know what it means, hituzetze, right? We're now, our theory is that there's a middleman, okay? What we know, what has to work into the equation that has to make sense is that whatever happened here, it's going to cause only a tar'omet, but not a monetary claim. Okay, so any attempt that we have to try to explain it, we're going to have to explain, well, why is there only a taromet and not a financial claim? Or why is there even a taromet and not nothing? Okay, right? In other words, a taromet is in between nothing and a financial claim. So it's got to be something in between. So now they're going to say, hey, chidame, okay, again, what is the case? So, ida amarle balabayat ba'arba'a. The balabayat said, go hire me workers for four. Okay, let's say four, I don't know if it's four zuz an hour, let's say. Go, what? A day. Okay, fine. Four zuzim a day. That makes more sense. So he says, go hire for four zuzim a day. Va'azal iyu amar lihu betlata. And then the shaliach went and hired them for three. So now they're going to say, can't be that case. Why? Okay, if you follow on the chart, I charted out each case. Okay? Here the balabayit says four. The shaliach said three. Now what's going to be the problem? Tamor amaya bidate, sevur v'kabil. They accepted to do it upon themselves for three, so what's their complaint? You know, it's true the Balabat was going to hire them for more, but they agreed, right? They go into the deal. They can't start complaining later, oh, I never would have done this. What do you mean I never would have done it? You agreed, right? He agreed for three. We'll see later. The Gemara's going to go back and revisit this and actually say that you could claim there's a taromet here. But right now, we're going to think not. So therefore, the Gemara rejects the four and three, and now it's going to flip it and say it must be three and four, and we're going to now have five different suggestions of what this could be. Again, they're all going to end up being rejected. They won't all end up being rejected, right? Right, they're all rejected in the end. Okay. So ida amrle balabai betlata. The balabai said, go hire workers for three. Vazal iu v'amrle hubar ba'a. And he goes and hires workers for four. So again, hechidami. Who's supposed to pick up the extra zuz on this one, right? Depends what he said. Ida amrle hu scharchem alai. If he said, I'll take it upon myself. So natav lehumi didei. Then he has to pay, and then who's got a taromet? The workers aren't going to complain, right? The workers got their money. What do they care whether they got it from the shaliach or they got it from balabai? How do we know that they have to pay? He has to pay because we have this braita. Titania hasocher tapoala sopeshelo veherahu b'shel chaveru noten los charom shalem. If you hire a worker to work in your field, but instead of showing him your field, you showed him your friend's field. Okay, meaning you took upon yourself a responsibility for something that didn't benefit you at all, just like the shaliach, right? He said, go do this for four, and I'll pay the difference, right? Meaning, I'll pay that one zuz for the day. So he obviously, right, in that case, what do we say? If you hire someone to work in your field, but then you show him your friend's field, you have to pay him. So this guy, the shaliach, will also have to pay him. What's the additional part in this braita that's not really related to us? Which is, b'chozer v'notel mi balabayit ma shehenau. Then he can go and demand from the original owner, if I hired a worker to do work in your field and he did something to benefit you, so I have to pay the worker because I hired the worker, just like the shaliach, right? The shaliach hired the worker to do it for the extra money. But I can then go to you, in this case of the field, and say, listen, you just got benefited by, you know, 10 zuzim from this work, or 2 zuzim, let's say, whatever it might be. pay me back whatever benefit you gained from the work that was done, okay? Because I did work that benefited you, then you now won't have to hire a worker for that, or you won't have to do it yourself. I've benefited you, so I can demand that money back. Okay, that's a side issue. So then what are the answer? Lo tzricha, so it can't be scharchem alai, so it must be de'amalu scharchem abalabayit. He said, yeah, and the balabayit will pay you whatever I told you is going to be. So basically, what's going to happen? They're going to say, hey, you promised me the balabayit was going to pay me 4. And he's only paying me 3. So that's their taromet. So first of all, the Gemara says, what do you mean that's a taromet? You have to go and see what the going rate is. If the going rate is 3, then they should only get 3, and then they have no taromet because they shouldn't have gotten paid more than the going rate. And if the going rate is 4, then they should get paid 4, and then the balabayit has to pay them 4 because that's the going rate. He can't pay workers less than minimum wage. So that's assuming, okay, right? This assumes that there's a basic going rate. So then the Gemara is going to say, ah, lo tzricha. No, it's a case. De'iga de mitgar ba'arba, abarba, ve'iga de mitgar ba'tlata. It's a case where some people get paid 3 and some people get paid 4, right? We all know that let's say you hire a cleaning help or a babysitting help, right? And there's a range of what people get paid for it, okay? So now, what's going to be the taromet in that case? So what's the story? The workers thought that they were going to get the higher rate, right? The balabayit thought he was going to pay the lower rate. So he only pays the lower rate. The shaliach didn't accept upon himself responsibility. He said, "Scharchem abalabayit." So they're only going to pay the low rate. But now, what are we going to say? De'amrle, ilav de'amrlam ba'arba'a, tarchina n'matagurina ba'arba'a. So now, oh, sorry, I was right. But we don't reject this. This actually stays. This is an answer. I can't remember if they all got rejected or not, right? This one is not rejected. What does it mean? What's the taromet? They say, right, we all know that sometimes if you get what you pay for, right? So if you hire someone for a low rate, then they're going to work for a low rate. Oh, no, sorry, we're not up to that one yet. I read it wrong. Ilav damar lam ba'arba'a, tarchina n'mutagurina ba'arba'a. The workers say, I would never have worked for you, right? If you pay, this happened to me once where my neighbor was paying a much higher babysitting rate and I lost my babysitter because I was only willing to pay the low rate and the babysitter went and worked for someone else who was willing to pay her a higher rate. So they're saying, I would never have accepted 3 had I known that I could have gotten 4, and that's their taromet, okay? Because he says, Chachama Balabayit, and the Balabayit was only willing to pay 3, so he only has to pay 3. They can have a taromet and say, hey, listen, we would have gotten paid more. We would have gone to work for someone else who would have paid us more. We never would have agreed. Ibayit ema, alternatively, you could say, Hacha bebalabayit askinan. It could be that we're talking about someone who has his own field. Okay? Now, let's say we're talking about working in the field. So he has his own field, and what does he say? Da'amrulei ilav da'amrulam ba'arba'a havazile ba'milta li'it gure. What happens? The balabayit says, listen, okay, this is like if you go babysit for somebody else's kids, and then you hire a babysitter to work for your kids, because you can hire a babysitter for less money, and you can go out and make more money, right? You see, I could get a job for 4, and, you know, I can hire someone for 3, I'll make money off that. So what's the story? He's got his own field, but he said, if I go work in your field, I can make more money, because you promised me 4, and I'll hire someone to work in my field. But he's saying, I never would have zila b'milta, I never would have gone to embarrass myself, right? What kind of person would go to babysit for someone else's kids if they're not making more money? What kind of crazy thing is that? And hire someone to take care of their own kids? Who would have done such a thing if they wouldn't have been making more money? And that's the taromet. Ibai dema, third option. Okay, le'olam b'po'ali maskinan. Okay, it's talking about not a balabayit, but workers. And what do they say? This is the one I accidentally started saying before. De'amr le kevan de'amar lam ba'arba'a, tarchina v'avdina lechavidata shvirata. Right? I worked harder. Right? If you hire a babysitter for more money, she'll probably wash your dishes and clean your house a little bit, right? She'll do more for you than if you hire someone just for the low basic minimum rate. So that's what they said. You know, I wouldn't have worked so hard. So then they say, wait a minute. But that's something that's measurable, right? Let's say the example I gave. You can see, did they wash your dishes? Did they do a job that's actually worth more or not? Obviously, in babysitting, it's not so clear-cut that there's, you know, but anyway. V'lechze avidatayu. So then why don't you go look and see whether they did better work or not? So they say, ah, it's berifka. It's a case where they dug ditches in your thing and you can't really tell. Then they say, what do you mean? Rivka nema medayade. Rivka also, when you dig this ditch, you can see how deep a ditch did they build, how well did they dig it. You can check it. So then they say, no, demalya mayim, velo yadia. It's a case where it rained, it's now full of water, and therefore you can't tell actually the quality of the work that they did. Okay, and that's why they could say, we did more work, but, and let's remember, if they could prove that they actually worked harder and did a better job, then they would get the higher salary. But the point is, this is a case where they just have a taromet, they can't prove it, and that's what we're talking about. Now we're going to go back to the original claim and try to make that one make sense also. So it is the case where the balabai, you could also explain, it's the case where the balabai does it for four, and then they go and say for three. Udka marta saviv rakabil, what about the fact that they agreed? So they could say to Amrele, they could say to the shaliach, leilach altim natovi ba'alav, you deprived us of getting something that we could have gotten, right? There's a pasuk of Mishlei that says, don't deny something good to the owners of the good item. And here, the workers are the ba'alim here. They were saying, you denied us. We could have gotten four. Why do you say three? And that's their tar'omet. Okay, so now what we have, I didn't write the chart right, but basically, the first four hatsa'ot are all, the first three are rejected. The next four are all possible options of how to explain the Mishnah. Okay, soon we're going to get to a different explanation of the Mishnah entirely. But this is all assuming that hitu zeh means there was a shaliach there, and it doesn't mean chazru zeh bezeh. Okay, eventually we'll get to a way of reading the Mishnah where it actually means chazru zeh bezeh. Okay, now we're going to go off on another issue, a side issue before we get back to that. Pshita I amr le balabai pitzlata, va'azal iu va'amr le ba'arba'a. Here we have a case. If the balabai says three, and the shaliach says four, and then, now this we didn't have before, let's say the workers say, Va'amrele kimosha amar balabayit. We want whatever the balabayit said. In other words, we don't trust you, shaliach. We want whatever the balabayit said. So then obviously, da'atayu ilave, obviously then they're going to get paid three, just like the balabayit said. In other words, clearly that's what they mean. But ela, i'amrele balabayit ba'arba'a. If the balabayit said four, and then the shaliach said three, in other words, what you have to remember is the assumption of this Gemara is that people clearly either get four or three. There's no higher range than that. Okay, it's not like a free market like we have where it could be anything. But the point is, in the first case, if the balabayit said three and the shaliach says four, and he says I want to do like whatever the balabayit said, obviously he meant right that I want to get whatever the balabai. One second. According to this, he would say, right? Right. Sorry. What they mean here in this case, when they say da'atayu ilave, it means when they say kemosh amar balabai, they're obviously saying, we assume you must be representing what the balabai had said, and we're accepting your terms because they would never agree to less, right? It wouldn't make any sense that they would actually want three if the balabai had actually said three. So in that case, as I said, it's different than when I said, when they say kamosha mar balabai, they obviously mean like you said in the balabai's name. Because we're assuming that you represent the balabai, and therefore we're going with four. But if the balabai had said four, and the shaliach comes to the workers and says three, ve'amre kamosha mar balabai, they say, we want like the balabayit says. Now, what do they mean? If the shaliach said the lower rate, and they say, we want like the balabayit, what do they mean? Do they mean, okay, either they mean, my adibura didei kasamche, da amrele mehemat lan da hachi amar balabayit. Are they saying, we trust you that you're representing the balabayit accurately, and when you say three, that must be what the balabayit meant, in which case they can only get three. Or are they saying, we don't trust you at all. You're saying three, but if the balabayit actually said four, then we want to get four. Follow? And then they're basically saying, we want to get whatever the balabayit said, in which case the balabayit would have to pay four in this case. Okay, so what's the situation? So now they're going to try to learn it from a gitin case. Tashma. Haveli giti. We saw this in gitin, by the way. Okay, the first thing you have to remember is, when it comes to a get, the man and the woman can each send a shaliach, but they can each send, right, depending, they can each send different types of shalichim, but we'll see. The man can send a shaliach to give the get to the wife. He can't, what happens with the get? The get is only a good get once the woman accepts the get. So he can't send a shaliach to accept the get for the woman because she has to be the one to accept the get. So he can only send what's called a shaliach laholacha, to give the get to the wife. The woman can only send a shaliach lekabbalah to accept the get. Now, what happens when she sends a shaliach lekabbalah? She sends a shaliach lekabbalah, and He goes and gets the get. As soon as he gets the get, she's divorced at that moment. Okay? Which means that, right, she can send a shaliach to get to, she can send a shaliach laholacha, but she can't appoint that shaliach. She can send a shaliach to the husband to say, please give me my get. And if the husband agrees to give the shaliach the get, and the husband appoints the get as his shaliach laholacha, then it can be a shaliach laholacha. But she can't appoint that get to be the shaliach laholacha. She can only say to someone, accept my get, right? That's her shaliach. So let's see how this works. She says, Haveli Giti, go bring me my get. Now she doesn't say, Hitkabel, shaliach lekabalah, which means that she didn't actually appoint him as a shaliach. She's just saying, please go to my husband and see if he's willing to give you my get. Okay? And then when the husband gives the get, right, when is she going to be divorced? Mm-hmm. Only when the shaliach returns it to her, because he's not a shaliach that's operating in place of her and accepting the get. But when the shaliach goes to the husband, what does he say? He says to the husband, Ishtecha amra, hitkabeli giti, accept my get for me. Okay? Which means that he's saying, basically, your wife told me to be a shaliach lekabalah. V'hu omer, heilach kamo shamra. So the husband says, whatever my wife said. So now, if my wife said, right, make me a shaliach laholacha, so it should be, he's a shaliach laholacha. So now what happens? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Amar Rav, afilu higia get liyada, eina migureshet. It doesn't work. Now, why doesn't it work? If he really means what the wife said, well, the wife said, make me into a shaliach laholacha. And the husband said, sure, I'll make you a shaliach laholacha. And he sends him with the get. And when the get gets to the wife, it should be a good get. But that's not what Rav Nachman said. So that's what they're going to say. Shma mina, at least at this point, they're going to say, we can infer from here, da dibura didei kasamich. He doesn't mean, I trust you that whatever my wife said is what you're doing. I'm sorry. He's not, a dibura didei kasamich means, we can infer from here that he's relying on, didei is his, on the shaliach's words. Okay? Why? What did the shaliach say? That the wife said, hitkabel, and that wasn't true. And therefore, the husband sends it thinking he's a shaliach lekabalah, but he's really not. And therefore, even once the get gets to the woman, there was no actual sending of the get properly. So, de'isal kadatach, what?
Because neither one appointed the shaliach.
Right, neither one appointed the shaliach correctly. He appointed a shaliach lekabalah, which he can't do. And she appointed a shaliach leholacha, which she can't do. So now, it sounds like he must be relying on him, because the if really he was relating to do whatever my wife said and really whatever my wife said, not that I trust you that you're doing whatever my wife said, but then what would happen? Then it would work, because whatever his wife said was, make me a shaliach lo'olacha, and he made the guy a shaliach lo'olacha. So it should work. And so therefore, comes the Gemara and they say, we can prove from here that when someone says, do like what the shaliach, you know, do like what the original guy, the guy who sent you said, we can assume that he really means, I trust you entirely. Okay? And it doesn't have anything to do with what the person said. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, hachi hashta, what kind of comparison are you making? Bishlama, if, now you have to understand, what are they learning from? Not just the situation, but what Rav Nachman said about it. Okay, Rav Nachman said, in this case, when the get gets to the wife, she's not divorced. So now, Rav Ashi is going to be a little creative, and he's going to say, if you had told me that Rav Nachman had said the opposite, okay, so let's read. If you had told me the whole thing was the opposite, that what? The woman said, hitkabel ligiti. Okay, the whole case is opposite. The woman said, I want you to be a shaliach lekabalah. V'ishtecha, and the shaliach comes and says, v'ishtecha, you can follow, by the way, on the chart. Okay, I charted this all out on the page. Okay, on the bottom. Okay? At this point, we're on the second side of the page. Okay? Dechiyat Rav Ashi, Mikre Rishon. Rav Ashi is going to bring three Mikrim. Okay? The third is going to be our Mikre, and he's going to prove from our Mikre. But first, he's going to bring opposite cases. The woman says, Hitkabel Ligiti. The Shaliach says, Ishtecha Amra, Have Ligiti. Bring me my get. V'hu omer, heilach kemo shamra. And he says, do like she said. And if, in that case, Rav Nachman had said, remember, Rav Nachman doesn't say this. Rav Ashi is just saying, right? He's being creative. He's saying, if you had told me the case is the opposite, and Rav Ashi had said, amar rav ravua, amar rav, mishi yagia get li adam migureshet, right? If Rav Ashi had said in that case, if Rav Nachman had said in that case, in the name of Rav, that once the get comes to her hand, she's migureshet, because, hey, la kamosha ra'ishti, and she said, hitkablili giti, And therefore, once the get goes into the hands of the shaliach, she'll already be divorced because he's a shaliach la'kabbalah, then we could say very easily, Alma dibura didaka samich, right? She wanted, what's the issue here? According to Rav Ashi, he's pointing out that in this case, she's saying, hitkabeli iti, which is the exact lashon that she's allowed to use, right? She can make a shaliach la'kabbalah. So if it was that case, where she says, make a shaliach la'kabbalah, and the shaliach came to the husband and said, your wife said, make me a shaliach laholacha. And the husband said, do whatever my wife said. And we would have said, if the psak had been, as soon as the get gets to her, to his hands, to the shaliach's hands, it's a good get, right? The shaliach makes it a good get. Because he, in essence, was doing exactly what the wife had said, which is make me a shaliach l'kabbalah. Then we would say, very easily, if he says, mishegia get liyado, to the hands of the shaliach, it's a good get, then obviously what did the husband mean? Do whatever really my wife said. Okay, adibor didak hasamech. Inami, or if it was the same case where mishigyeh, right? It was the same case where the woman said hitkabel. The shaliach said, havei, and the husband said, do what my wife said, right? Then, and if the halacha had been mishigyeh get liyadam igureshet, then what would we say? If the get gets to her hand, she's divorced, but not until then what did we say? The shaliach said that my wife said, haveli, meaning shaliach, right, make me a shaliach laholacha. And then, in effect, the halacha would be the get's not a good get till she gets it, because he's a shaliach laholacha, in which case he's just passing the get to the wife and it has to actually reach her to be a good get. Then I would have said, alma adibur didei kasamich, right, that clearly we're relying on I trust you, shaliach, is what he meant. But the case that we gave, where it's the opposite, where the woman used the lashon of holacha, and the shaliach used the lashon of kabbalah, right? In that case, we can't say it. Let's read it. Elahatam mishum de'akar shaliach shlichute legamre. When she said, bring me my get, now you have to, which is easier for the shaliach? To be a shaliach l'kabbalah or a shaliach l'holacha? Kabbalah. Because if he's a shaliach l'kabbalah, as soon as he gets the get, his job is done. He can eventually give the wife the get, but he's certainly not in any hurry, and you know he's got no more responsibility after that. He's accepted the get on her behalf, and the get is a good get. So it's much simpler for him. So if the shaliach told him to be a shaliach l'holacha, and he says to the husband, she appointed me to be a shaliach l'kabbalah, what he's in effect saying is, he's basically saying, I don't want to be a shaliach the way she sent me. But in which case, he's basically saying, I don't want to do the shlichut the way she wanted me to. In which case, this has nothing to do with what the husband was intending. This all has to do with what the shaliach was intending, which therefore teaches us absolutely nothing about our case, because this is a totally separate issue. So this whole mahalach to bring this in as a proof is basically rejected now by Rav Ashi, who basically says this shaliach doesn't want to do the shlichut that he was sent to do, and that's why this doesn't work. A shaliach, in order to be effective, has to do what he was sent to do. And if he's saying, I don't want to be a shaliach l'kabbalah, holacha, I want to be a shaliach l'kabbalah, then he's in effect saying, I don't want to do the shlichut. So therefore, it doesn't work. And that's why Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav that it doesn't work. But if he actually, right, if it was the reverse, it would work, and then we'd be able to know something, but that wasn't the reverse case. So therefore, we can't know anything. Okay, that was a side thing. Now we're back to our Mishnah. Ibait Ema. Now we have another option of reading. Hai Tana Chazru, Nami Hit'u Karile. Maybe when the Tana says Hit'u, he also means Chazru. In other words, these words are interchangeable. They're synonymous. And therefore, it could mean Chazru, and it's not a case where there's a Shaliach like we've been establishing until now. Okay, but it's a case where each one was chozerbo, right? One side messed up the other, and there's a tarot. So how could we stop say this? Ditanya, because there's a brayta that explains this case exactly. Hasocher ta'umnim v'hit'u et balabayit. O balabayit hit'a'otan. Okay, that's our case, right? Either one side did the other. It's just explaining a little more. Ein lahem zel zel ta'omet. Okay, so far they didn't really teach us anything yet because we don't yet know what this is. But now the brayta goes on. In which case are we talking about? Shelo halchu. Okay, now I charted out. There's three cases, okay? It doesn't really say this in the Braita, therefore it's good to section out the Braita. There are going to be three cases, okay? We're at the last section of the page. There's three charts. So we're on the first one. The first case is where the Baal HaBayit is Choser Bo. Okay, it doesn't tell you these words. That's why you have to. I'm telling you, and it'll help you. The first case they're going to describe, the Bamedvarim Marim, is where the Baal HaBayit changes his mind. He hires workers, and then he says, I don't want you to do the job. So now, in which case can they only have a Taromet? Shelo Hachu, if they haven't yet gone to the job, to the site of the job. Okay? Aval Hachu Chamarim Velo Matzu Tfu'a Po'alim U'matzu Sadech Shilecha. But let's say they come to the job, they're ready to work, they get to the field, and they see it's all wet, and they can't do the work that they're supposed to do on the field. Or there are donkey riders who are supposed to collect tfu'ah from one place and bring it to another place, and they get there, and the grain's not there, and there's no work for them to do. Then, okay, in that case, it's not just a tar'omet. So you follow, if they haven't yet gone to work, you hire someone tomorrow to do a job for you. You hire them to do a job tomorrow, and then the night before, you call them up and say, listen, I don't need you to come. So that... you're not responsible. But if they show up, okay, let's say a babysitter. You hire a babysitter. She shows up at your house, and then it turns out nobody's home, right? You forgot to tell her that you were going out and you took the kids and you don't need her to help you anymore. So, notein lahem scharam mashalem. You have to pay them in that case, okay? Now, the question is, how much do you have to pay them, right? Avale no domeha bata'un lebarekan, okay? It's not the same for the donkey rider now to drive back his donkey empty than to drive back a donkey that's full of a load. Or
a wagon.
What?
A wagon.
A wagon?
Not a donkey. The donkey didn't eat it.
No, the donkey... What? I meant the donkey to carry the load.
Yeah.
What? The wagon.
A full, right. A full donkey or an empty donkey.
Oh, no. A full load on the donkey. Load, yes. Sorry. A full load on the donkey. Okay? Or osem alecha liyoshevu batel. Someone who works rather than someone who's doing nothing. Right? The babysitter shows up and there's nothing to do, so she didn't do anything. Okay? So now... what's the story? So therefore, you have to pay them, but how you have to pay them what we call schar batala, right? How much would someone be willing to get to say, don't work, right? But you can sit here and do nothing for the hours that you're supposed to work. Okay. That was the first case, where the Baal HaBayit goes there, and that's the case, and remember, what's the case? That's why I charted out. Well, we have a tar'omet if they didn't yet go. Then they could say, hey, I was planning to work tomorrow. I can't believe you messed me up, but it's only a tar'omet because they could go find another job. Okay. Next case. This case is going to be when the workers are chozer bahem, and we'll see soon that it's only in a davar she'eino aved. We're going to have two cases within the workers. There's workers b'davar ha'aved and workers b'davar she'eino aved, okay, where there's not a loss. So, b'medvarim amurim, where they have just a tar'omet, shelo hitchilu b'melacha, okay, where they didn't start working yet. Aval, hitchilu b'melacha, but if they started their job, then... Shamin lahem mashasu. Okay, then, if they were chozer bahem, so you still have to pay them for what they did. You can't say, hey, listen, you stopped mid-job, I'm not paying you anything, right? You can imagine. A guy comes to, I don't know, do a shiputz in your house, and then he never finishes the job. And you say, listen, I'm not paying you at all. You didn't finish the job, right? So now what happens to happen? If they already started working, shamin lahem mashasu. You have to evaluate what work they did for you. Ketzad. Kiblu kamal liktur b'shnei slaim. Let's say they did half the job, okay? They were supposed to do it for two slaim, which is 8 dinarim. Okay, remember that amount, right? Because we said a sela is 4 dinarim. So 2 slaim is 8 dinarim. So they did half. Or, beged la'arog b'shnei slaim, varagu chetzia v'inichu chetzia. Again, clothing to make, and they left it half done. Shamin lahem et mashasu. Okay, they evaluate what part they did. So let's say they did half, right, according to this. So they should get paid 4 dinarim, right? But... Haya yafesh shisha dinarim, right? Let's say the job left to do, they left it half done, but prices went up, let's say, okay? Or maybe to find someone to do half the job is going to cost you more money. So let's say now it's going to cost you 6 slaim, which means altogether you're going to have to pay 10, right? According to the way we understood our Mishnah, what would we say?
They would only
have to get paid 2, and you would pay 6 to the next guys. But that's not the opinion in this Braita. Okay? The opinion that's bright is notein lahem sela. They still get the 4 of what they did. That's what it's saying. Okay? O, yigmeru melachtam v'yitzlu shnei slaim. Or you can convince them to finish the job and then they'll get their full pay. Right? Someone finishes the job halfway. They said, sorry, I'm not continuing. You said, listen, I really will pay you the whole thing if you just do the job. And then he finally agrees, fine, I'll do it. Then you pay 2 slaim. Obviously, like, what's the chiddush in that? Obviously, if they do the whole job. Okay? But anyway. V'im stela, this part's really going to be unnecessary, and later the Gemara is going to explain what, why does it say this in the Brayta, and we won't get to it today. But im stela, noten lehem stela, and if the if they did work of a stela, then you give them a stela. Okay? If what was left was only worth a stela, meaning they did half the job that was four, and there's four more left to pay, in which case you'll pay eight like you originally intended, then you give them four, right? You give them a stela, it's worth four dinari. But that's obvious, right? The Gemara's going to say, what's the chiddush there? We'll get to it later. Rabbi Dosa has an alternate opinion in this braita. Rabbi Dosa omer, shomin lehem masha atid lehe asot. Right, you do it. This is like the one opinion in our Mishnah, which said, "Haya yafesh shisha dinarim, no tein lahem shekel. Shekel is two dinarim." Right. So, if it was the job was going to be right, if you still have six to pay someone else, then the first guys get two. Right. This is the second line I put here. Right. The first guys get two, and the last guys get six. They're going to have to pay the difference. Right? Or if they see they're going to get a loss, then you can try to convince them to just finish the job and then they'll get their full pay. Okay, again, this is unnecessary. And if there was a sella's worth left, right, meaning four and four, then obviously you pay them four. Okay. This is all, though, this is only, though, in something that there won't be a loss. So you basically can go find another worker. If you get your baguette tomorrow and not today, okay, no harm done. Aval b'davar ha'avud, but if it's something that you need right now today, so what do we know? Like our Mishnah said, socher alehen o mita'an, right? You can hire workers in their stead and they'll have to pay the difference. Or mita'an, or you can trick them. Ketzab mita'an, how do you trick them? Omer lahem, this is where I knew it from before, right? You know, the Mishnah didn't explain this. Omer lahem, sela kitzatzti lahem, bo tlushtayim. I told you it would be a sela for the second half of the job, but you know what? I'll give you two to finish the job. Okay? And then you only have to pay them the sela. Va'ad kama socher lahem. How much can you lie to them? Up to how much money can you claim you're going to give them? Okay? What's the ceiling on that? Ad arba'im v'chamishim zuz. Okay, a lot. Okay, this is, right? A sela is 4 dinarim, so we're talking 8 dinarim. Okay, you can lie about 8 dinarim. Now they say not only can you say 8 dinarim, you can even say, right, 40 or 50 dinarim. Okay, now, there's a bit of a debate about this. Do they really mean this? Is this just exaggerated? Okay, what they mean is, when you're stuck at the very last minute, we all know that the price can go up exponentially, and that's basically what they're saying. They're saying up to the highest rate. No, but it's not a smachta. Here they're saying, right, if you're stuck, I always think of that person, there's someone from our community who, I think I mentioned this in class once before, the place burned down the day of their kid's bar mitzvah, and they had to basically put their bar mitzvah together that from that morning to that afternoon, you know. So, right, crazy story. But anyway, you see it could get done in a day, and you know, I'm sure they had to pay extra for all sorts of things, that for someone to put all that together at the last minute, they could charge a much higher price. I mean, I don't know if that's really true that happened in this case, but you can imagine, right? They know that they have all the... So therefore, they're saying, since in this situation, people know that prices can go up exponentially, therefore you can even promise them some exponential sum and then say, oh, sorry, I didn't really mean that. Okay. Now, so that's all b'davar... So now we're talking b'davar ha'aved. But they're going to have one caveat here. Okay, we're on the last chart on the page. That's if, okay, if it's davar aved, so you can socher lehen o matan. But that's only if there aren't other poalim liskor. Aval yesh sham poalim liskor, in other words, what does it mean? It means that's only if you can't find workers who are willing to do it for the same price. Avalim yesh sham poalim liskor, even if it's davar aved, and there's other workers there to... They can do the job. Ve'amar. Now here's an interesting line. And the workers say to you, say uschor me'elu. They find you other guys who can do the job for the same price as them. Okay? At that point, you can't start making them pay or doing all sorts of other things. Then, ein lo alehem elataroma. Then they can just have a complaint and not actually, you know, because they'll just hire those workers in their stead. Okay? The Mefarshim grapple with this a little bit about... remember if it's, right, what if they don't say to you, say you schor me'elu, and there happen to be, like, is it your job to go look for workers? No, right? You don't have to try to find workers. If you go to the first place and they want a lot of money, then you can just do that. It's a bit of a disagreement. I forget exactly what it was about it. Okay, last section for today. Tana Tana Kameja Rav. Okay, so now Tana brings this braita before Rav. Notein lahem scharam mishalem. Okay, you have to pay them, right? The part about notein lahem scharam mishalem. So that's what we saw before, right? That in the case of right, this was halchu v'lo matu tfu'a, right? And they go to the work and then they don't find anything to do, so you have to pay them minimum wage. So amar lechavivi amar. Amar lechavivi, amar ilu ana havai lo havi yehivna lehen ela kepoel batel. Ba'at amar notein lehem scharam mishalem. He says, if I was there, I wouldn't give them. I would only give them kepoel batel. And you said scharam mishalem. So then they said, what are you talking about? That is what I said. Ba'ala katane eno dome habala taun lahabare kan osem lachali yoshevu batel. In other words, Rav says to him. Oh, sorry, I read it wrong. Amar Le, right. Rav said to the Tana, Chavivi said that I would only give them Kippoel Batel, and you're telling me Scharam Mishalem. In other words, Rav thought that when the Tana said Scharam Mishalem, he meant something different from Schar Batala, the way we explain Scharam Mishalem. So he says, and I know from Chavivi that you only have to pay Kippoel Batel. So then they said to him, but that's what the Braita says, exactly that. So then they say, Lo Simu Akameh. The Tana who brought this Braita just didn't finish the Braita. In other words, he started saying it, but he didn't. In other words, Rav asked this question, but the Braita itself said that that's what you pay, Schar Batala. So why did Rav even ask this question? So they said, oh, the Tana just didn't finish it, and Rav thought that wasn't what the Braita meant. But now the second reading is going to have a different meaning. Ika de Amre, Simua Kame, that the Tana did actually read the whole Braita about the Schar Batel is really Schar Mishalem is Schar Batala. Behachi Kamra, this is what Rav said. Chavivi Amar, I Havai Ana, Lo Hava Yehivna Le Klal. Chavivi had said, I wouldn't even pay you at all. Ba'at Amar Kepoel Batel. And you said, by the way, Chavivi is his uncle, Rabbi Chia. Okay? He says, my uncle, Rabbi Chia, said that. And you're saying it's Kepoel Batel? El Akashya, Hach Lo Kashya. Now the Gemara is going to say, but that question is really not a good question. Why? Because there's two different cases. In other words, Rabbi Chia said, I wouldn't pay him anything. And the Braita said, I would pay, because it depends on the situation. And this is going to lead us to tomorrow. We're going to see a bunch of cases. Ha de sayre la'ara mi de'orta, ha de lo sayre la'ara me'orta. If the balabayit took the worker to see the land the day before, in which case the worker should have realized that the places, you know, where then he saw it rained and he saw the condition of the field the night before, and he realized that things weren't in place, then he should have known to prepare himself that maybe nothing's going to happen, and therefore, he doesn't get paid at all. Whereas if the balabai didn't take him to check out the field before, then it's 100% the balabai's responsibility, and the balabai will have to pay him schar batala. Okay? So one reading thought that Rabbi Chia actually said, right, that Rav thought the braita meant you even pay him more than schar batala, and Rabbi Chia said you only pay him schar batala. And the second reading is that Rabbi Chia said you don't even pay him schar batala, you don't pay him anything. And Rav had, right, the braita had said you pay him schar batala. And then they say these must be two different cases, okay, where if the balabai took you to check out the property before, then you're equally responsible and therefore you don't get paid at all. If he didn't take you to check it out the night before, then it's fully his responsibility and he'll have to pay you minimum sachar.